Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
And honor the Lord. Just go ahead and tell Him how good He's been to you. Appreciate Him. Show gratitude. Show honor. Express loyalty and devotion to God. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We magnify your name, Abba Father. Precious Holy Spirit, thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for righteousness, for wisdom. Thank you for your power and your ability in our lives. Thank you, Father, we give you glory. We extol you. We magnify your name. Thank you, Lord. Even tonight, Lord, we bless your name. We open our spirits to receive your word with meekness. And we ask, Father, that these words will become in us life and power. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
For Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head.
For Thou, O
Lord, art a shield for me,
my glory,
and the leader of my head.
For Thou, Lord,
art
a shield for me,
my glory.
when you look behind you and you consider the battles you have won, you will tell yourself, this thing is not me. There is a force beyond me at work. If you see the challenges you have overcome, the hurdles you have crossed, you will thank God for your certificate. But you will know, this thing is beyond me. For thou, O Lord, are a shield for me.
My glory
and the lifter up of my head.
For thou, O Lord,
the devil is that you like this woke up from bed and you have been walking about healthy. You even had the audacity to shower, to dress. You are wearing a suit and the devil is looking at you. How dare you? You are showcasing the glory of God. You are walking and you are talking with audacity. You even have the guts to write a vision. You are hoping to see tomorrow. You don't know how pained the devil is. But hear this, brothers and sisters. There is nothing the devil can do about it. Because there is an invincible hand over your life. There is a power securing you. There is a grace. Even when you were sick, hear this. Some of you, 4 years ago, you were sick. Even the doctor gave up. They thought this was the end. They nodded their head. They kept their compartment because they were professionals. But they knew this matter is over. After they nodded their head in hopelessness, from somewhere inside, you sneezed. You came back. You stood up from that bed. You walked out of that hospital. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by the Spirit of the living God. Lift your hands up, oh, dear people.
Lord.
And wonder. The Bible says you are more than a conqueror. There are spirit agents trying to destroy you. There are human agents trying to destroy you. There are systemic forces trying to destroy you. The psalmist said, but thou, O Lord, you are a shield for me. You are my glory. You are the lifter up of my head. By what power do you plan for tomorrow? By what power? By what power do you hope for tomorrow? Amen for the Almighty. Job stood and he said, I beheld. And he said, my Redeemer liveth. My Redeemer liveth. You will not die. You will not fail. You will not fumble. You will not be destroyed. But for yours it shall be glory to glory. Grace to grace. Power to power. In the name of Jesus. You are my glory. And the lifter of my.
If the Lord is the lifter up of your head, then what is that power that can keep you down? If the Lord is your glory, why will you not shine and radiate? I prophesy over someone. This is the best season of your life. Give the Lord the shout. If men were God, I tell you, some of you would have been in the grave by now. If men were God, some people sat down and wrote the date of your destruction. But you know what? God will not let you talk until that date passes. And the way you will answer is not by talking. He will multiply the possibilities of grace in your life. They will see you and you will become the reason why they will repent from evil. Thank you, Father. Let's stop. You will carry us too far. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. I came up heavy. But when I heard that sound, oh God. May God raise psalmists. Who can help us? Psalmists. We need them. We need so many of them. You just hear a sound and spiritual things begin to download. You hear a sound, you are transported. You know, when I stood there, I was saying, Lord, help me, help me. My legs are on fire. My stomach, everywhere is paining me. Because somebody came to me and said, you are rusty. You need to do some form of exercise. Oh, God of mercy. How I wish I knew better. And he volunteered himself to be my fitness coach. Since yesterday. I'm surprised if this is my body. My stomach, I can't even stretch. I wanted to cough and I said, the walls of the stomach have been, they were battered. I can't shout. I can't talk. I say, Lord, help me. This song has put some strength. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. Look for the author of that song. We need to pray for that person. That person is a blessing. Glory to Jesus. If you are not exercising, start to. I didn't know I was so rusty. You know, if on one extreme, people make their looks and the physical benefits they derive from these things, they are God. That's the operation of the spirit of the age. We frown at it because the Bible does so. It said men become lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. But on another side, if you are not careful, you go to the extreme of neglecting yourself. Somebody said he has not seen any fat person who is 90 years old. And obese, any obese, I'm not saying naturally big. You have to exercise your muscles. Exercise your body, brother. I thought I was slim and healthy. When they said do sit up, I stood up 3 times. Hallelujah. Praise God. In Jesus' name. Now let's do a bit of Bible study. I wanted to teach. Thank God I'm restrained now. So I can't explode all the time. We started looking at a very sensitive doctrine last week Tuesday, and I took our time to give us a robust outline of what we'll be studying because of the times that we are in. Many are not aware where we are in divine agenda and divine calendar. And that's why they can afford to live carelessly. This is the time to live deliberately and intentionally. Because this world as you know it is coming to an end. I'm going to be doing a lot of teaching about the second coming of Jesus, about the judgments of God, about the new world, the new earth, the new heaven, about our eternal destination. But you see, before we delve into those matters, we have to prove that we are actually in the last days. Because when you speak like this, many who don't have understanding of scriptures can begin to quote people and quote history. As important as these factors are, heaven and earth shall not pass away. Shall pass away, but not one jot or tittle of the word shall pass away. What the word says is forever, amen. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can change it. And so it's important for believers to be fortified with knowledge, and not just any knowledge, but the knowledge of the end times, because there is a lot it will do for them. You know, we speak on these matters with all rigidity and absolute authority because we are standing on the authority of scriptures. There's no document anywhere in the world apart from the Bible that gave us a vivid, verifiable evidence about creation. There's no spirit, there's no individual, there's no document that gave detailed step-by-step revelation about how this world was designed, apart from scriptures and inspirations from God that can be probed, verified, contested classically and scholarly. Most people and most documents that attempt to make certain claims, you find too many gaps, and so they cannot pass scholarly tests. Only the Bible can pass all the tests, whether spiritual test of inspiration or scholarly test or test of history, any test with verifiable evidences. Because most of the things said in scripture, you can go back, trace them and find them. Only the Bible has that level of impeccability. Now, if the Bible is that impeccable as touching the facts of creation, then when the Bible is talking about the end, listen. Because the one who knows the beginning has the authority to tell you about the end. Because he knows how it began, he can also tell you how it will end. Bible scholars reveal to us that there are about 735 prophecies and predictions about the end times. And out of these prophecies and predictions, 596 of them have happened with 100% accuracy. That's about 81%. We are left with only 19% of biblical prophecies. And a bulk of this 19% is about the last days. And so what we are talking about here is something you can verify, is something that can be proven, and is something you should not take for granted. You know, I would like to begin by telling us clearly what the Master himself said concerning the end times. He said, as touching the exact time of his coming, he said, no man knows, no angel knows, no creature knows the exact time of his arrival. Matthew 24, verse 33 to 36. So this teaching we are making or bringing forth to you is not an attempt to predict the exact time of Jesus' coming, but is to prepare you because we are in the season. That's why the Bible calls it the last days. It's not the last day, it's the last days. So the whole idea is for preparation, not for curiosity, to find out when exactly the Messiah is coming. It says, so likewise, when ye shall see all these signs, it says, know that it is near, even at the door. So the signs are to tell you it is near. It's not to tell you the exact time of his coming. It says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Verse 35. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. He's trying to give you the veracity and the authority of his words. You can bank on it with your life. And in verse 36, he said, but of that day and hour, he said, knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So only the Father knows the day and the hour of his coming. But Jesus was gracious enough to give us signs to look out for, to understand the seasons so that we can prepare in order not to be taken unawares. The disciples asked him in Acts chapter 1 from verse 5-6 when he was going to return. And he answered them in verse 7. Acts 1 verse 7. And he repeated this, because he told them these things when his ministry was coming to an end. And after resurrecting, they asked him again, thinking he will give them a different answer. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own power. So the exact day and hour is what he's still emphasizing. So don't kill yourself with curiosity, trying to predict the exact day and the exact hour Jesus will come. You will miss it 1,000 times. Only the Father knows. But we cannot be ignorant of the signs that defines the season, so we are adequately prepared. You know, Paul was teaching along this line. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2 and verse 4 to 6, Paul began to tell us that although we don't know the exact day or the exact hour, he said, but we cannot be taken unawares. It is the word that should be taken unawares. We cannot be taken unawares. And the question is, why and how? What makes it possible for us not to be taken unawares? It's because there are signs that we read. Here's what he said. He said, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So it's going to be a day nobody knows. It's going to be an hour nobody knows. However, from verse 4, he said, although you don't know the exact date or the exact hour, he said, but you are not supposed to be taken unawares. He said, you are not in darkness that should be overtaken, or that the day should overtake you as a thief. So the day will not surprise you, because you will be adequately prepared. So if you find any believer who is not adequately prepared, it's because he doesn't have understanding of the times. He has not read the signs of the Spirit. Look at what verse 5 and 6 says. In verse 5 he said, you are the children of light and the children of the day. He said, we are not of the night nor of darkness. Verse 6. He said, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let's watch and be sober. Let's not sleep, but let's watch and be sober. Watching is not just prayer. Watching is the ability of reading the times, reading the signs, and then aligning yourself in preparation based on the signs that you are seeing. There are many believers who are asleep, and that is why they will be taken unawares by the cry of the coming of the bridegroom. Matthew 25, verse 5 and 6. You know, the bridegroom comes at night, and only those who are awake will be ready. Not everybody is rapturable. That's the point I'm making. He said, why the bridegroom tarried? He said, they all slumbered and slept. There are many Christians who are sleeping. when things are happening, they are looking at CNN, looking at Al Jazeera, looking at WeOn. They don't know what is going on. And they are darkening their understanding by just telling them things that are at the surface level. They cannot read the signs. And so for a man who understands the times, when he hears of an activity, it reminds him of something much more than the activity. It's telling him about the hour of the coming of the master. In verse 6 he said, at midnight there was a cry. He said, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out and meet him. That's when you will know that many are not prepared. The day will overtake them. The hour will overtake them because they did not watch and pray. They did not read the signs of the end. And so tonight, as an attempt to truly begin to dig into the subject, I want us to look at the signs of the end times. I told you when I was teaching last week, I said the general reason why we are looking at the subject of the last days, or what Bible scholars call eschatology, is number one, to influence how we live. Because when you understand what is going on, it must impact your living. As you are seated here now, if they whisper to you that something is happening outside, it will change your disposition completely. You are not relaxed here now just because your hormones are relaxed. You are relaxed here now because of the information that is at your disposal. If you see 2-3 people with black mufti, you know, like DSS, and they walk like this, you will start, suddenly the adrenaline will start being secreted. You will turn and turn, what is happening? And then they tell you, you now hear somebody whispering, bomb, bomb, bomb. You will carry your Bible and say, I'm coming. But you don't know what, you just heard bomb, bomb. And the people you saw, you now start, your mind will enter movies, your mind will enter books, that people who detonate bomb, this is how they dress. All your senses will come alive and it will influence your action. Now, the reason you find many Christians asleep is because they don't know where we are. If you have adequate understanding of the signs, it will impart urgency to your life. It will impart on you how to live. The second thing that will happen is that it will stir in you the desire to resist evil. You know, many people embrace evil because they think they have time to repent. Pastor Chris was teaching us many years ago and he said something. He said, be careful as you walk in the corridor of compromise. He said, because you may be deceiving yourself, thinking, when I'm about to die, I will quickly repent. He said, no. Every time you compromise, you are programming your life. When you are about to die, you will not remember repentance. Because you have already programmed your life apart from God and away from God. So, even at that hour, you will be shocked. Have you not seen people that they are about to kill with firing squad? They are still blasphemous. Have you not seen people that they are about to sentence to life imprisonment or to death of whatever sort in the law court? And they make nasty comments. Some even when I watched some documentary, they were about to kill this hardened criminal with the electric chair. And they asked him to make a last statement. What the man said, you will know that devils live in men. At the last second of his life, he was still callous, wicked, and darkened because he has processed himself to live that way. And so the teaching is designed to impart in you the ability to resist evil. Number four, the teaching is also designed to empower you to withstand persecution, because there will be a lot of persecution in the last days. And finally, the teaching is designed to provoke in you the urgency for soul winning and kingdom advancement. Many people are so reluctant about soul winning because they don't even know what will befall the world. The other time I was teaching somewhere and I said, Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way. If he said, I am a way, it would imply there are other ways. If he said, I am the way, then he's the only way. And I've seen many people argue, are you trying to say all the millions of people who are not Christians, they will go to hell? Yes. If God destroyed the whole world and spared only Noah and his family. See, the standard of the Lord, the Bible says, standard sure. It doesn't bend. You are the one thinking, because people will be surprised on the last day. People will be surprised. When we go out aggressively to win souls and to advance the kingdom, it's because we know that the people don't know. When the white throne appears, men of all ages will come before that throne and they say books will be open. If your name is not found written in the book of life, you will be cast into the lake of fire. They are not asking the number. They are asking who is in the book of life. If you are not there, they won't check to know if there are 20 billion. They will just say, those whose name are in the book of life, come and go to the judgment seat of Christ. Those who are not in the book of life, that's the second destination. Because it's actually not the way you are looking at it. It's actually about destination. Eternity is about destination. If you choose Jesus, there's a destination that he prepared. If you don't choose Jesus, the other vacuum left is called lake of fire. So you will go there and relax. Whichever way you define relaxation. Praise God. And so it's important for us to understand this truth. Specifically, on the other hand, why do we need to study the signs? Because there are many things we'll be studying. I told you we are going to study the events. I also told you we are going to study the operation of the spirits of the last days. But now we are dealing with the signs. Why do we have to study the signs? Number one, we are studying the signs because it will help us to define the nature of the times that we live in. Many are naive because they don't understand the times that we are in. And that's why they are victims in life. You see, somebody wakes up, somebody speaks to him, and he gives him money. He doesn't follow the rigid legal process of putting that transaction together. And they say, no, don't worry. We go to the same church. He doesn't know that we are in the last days. After 2 weeks, that brother will look for another church. And then you call him, he won't pick. And then you say, how about the agreement? He say, which agreement? Where is my money? Which money are you talking about? You will be so shocked, but it's because you don't know the season. If you define the season, you will have rigid protocols in dealing with people. Not because you doubt them, but because of the times that we are in. So if you want to do business with somebody, you will say, I appreciate you, let's sign paper so that we can keep this as a memorial. It's not evidence, it's a memory. A brother almost left the church. What happened? Pastor recommended somebody to him. And he emptied his account to invest for a business. The person now vanished. When the person vanished, he called and called and called and couldn't access the person. So he now went back to pastor. Since pastor is the one that linked him. And said, Pastor, you know the story. That was like 10 years ago, somewhere in Makurdi. Pastor, this person, I'm not hearing from him. Pastor said, was I there when you people did business? I'm focusing on prayer. You are focusing on prayer. I have signed over 200 million. You are focusing on prayer. Are you not the one who recommended this brother? Sir, we will pray about this matter. We have to discuss it. I'm not saying doubt people. I'm just saying be wise. Because of the times.
Do you know this brother had to pay DSS and carried officers from Makurdi to Lagos to trace that man, arrest the man before part of the money started coming out? You need to discern the times. And for you to be able to define correctly where we are, you must understand the signs. Number two, it will help you to interpret human action and actions. And like I was showing you last week, if you don't understand human actions, you'll be offended a lot of times. But if you already know people, you will program your soul in a way that you'll not be hurt. As I am now, if you betray me, I'm already prepared for it. I will only pray for you that God should help you. If he hurts me, it's because I love you. But it won't take long. Because I know that one of the codes that defines this season we are in is called betrayal. It's betrayal. So, when I'm living with people, I don't kill myself. If you betray me, I know you are responding to the times. If I see people arrogant, I'm not the kind of pastor that I'm in church. Somebody didn't greet you well, and I noticed. No, I don't. It's part of the age. People will be proud. People will be boasters. People will be arrogant. It's part of the age. People will be disobedient to authorities. It's part of the age. So when you see it, you will know. And so, for those of us who have opportunity to talk to people, we don't talk to them as though we are naive. We talk to them and we attack the spirit controlling them. That's why sometimes we are aggressive. And I was telling you last week Tuesday, that when we teach, sometimes we address the spirit of the age. Sometimes we address the spirit of the territory before we even address people. And so when you see us corrosive, it's not because we are insensitive. It's because we know that people are doing what they are doing because of the power of the age. They are doing what they are doing. Somebody came to me and was asking me to intercede in his marriage and was presenting himself as a victim. But when I began to talk to him to find out and trace the root of some of their crises, I discovered before they got married, they were sleeping with themselves. And he said it casually so that we'll think that one has passed. I went back there and used the hammer. I hit it very hard because it's the age. It's the age. Even though I have compassion for the current situation, we need to hammer it. So that at least when he's transferring inheritance to his children, he will know the gates to close. Are you following? It's the spirit of the age. Finally, specific reasons why we must do this is because the signs will impart to you the heart posture of preparation. It cannot be overemphasized. When did this era open up? Joel chapter 2 verse 28. Because many people tell you, you people have been saying we are in the last days. We are in the last days. When is this day starting and when is it finishing? Has it started? Or you people are just talking? We are not talking. It's the Bible that is talking. In Joel chapter 2 verse 28, it says, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. It says, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Acts 2:17, Peter came back to this scripture, and here's what Peter said. He said, and it shall come to pass. He was quoting Prophet Joel. And he now added, in the last days. So what Joel said will happen, which manifested on the day of Pentecost by the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and the speaking in tongues, was actually the opening of the last days. So that's when the last days began from. The last days began from the outpouring. So the last days was opened with a sign to show you how significant signs are as touching this matter.
And the last days will continue until just before the hour. Now, all of the signs we'll be studying will be to guide and prepare us to just before the hour. And so when you start reading the signs and you follow them closely, you will know whether we are close to the hour or whether we are still far away from the hour. Are we together? If you know that we are very close to the hour, then there are certain things you will start doing. Jesus himself gave some recommendations. Look at Matthew 24, verse 16. See what Jesus said. When we are close to the hour, he said, they which are in Judea shall flee to the mountains. Verse 17. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. So Jesus is telling you the kind of urgency that will be required. The kind of very rugged activities that will be going on. It will be so urgent that if you pay attention to anything other than your salvation, you are finished. That's the emphasis Jesus was saying. So, in the times when we are in, as we approach the end, prayer meeting is not something you can negotiate about. So, when you are still negotiating about things that gives you safety, especially spiritual things, it means you don't know. And the Bible said, like it was in the days of Noah, the time was already close. The rain was about to fall. Noah was building an ark for 100 years. People came and mocked him. This ark that you are building on dry ground, hope you will know where to put it. Where will you use this, your boat? How will you carry it there? And they will come and do party in front of Noah's work and laugh and scorn and scoff at him. Until the last day, Noah, out of mercy, still went and invited people. He said, come, the hour is now. They looked at themselves and laughed. Some people were getting married on that day. And suddenly, the rain began. I know how God closes that ark. They lock it from inside. And they take the key from those who are inside. So, no matter how you wail, even if you have compassion, you can't open it. They will lock it until everybody dies. He said, like the days of Noah, that's how we are now. And as we study these signs, you will see how people are scoffing at scriptures, scorning, laughing. And when you talk Bible, they look at you and say, religious bigots. They have a lot of terminologies. The day you will wake up and you look left and your cousin that you went to watch football with is not there. And then you come back, you think something happened, and you start discovering that one third of the earth have vanished. The first thing you will do is to go and buy a Bible to verify the story. But all of us here, we go anyway. So let's preach it so that the word will hear. What are the signs of the last days? In order to bring clarity and simplicity, I divided them into five to help our understanding. And I will deal with each of them because the degree and the propensity of all of these signs is what tells you how close we are. And so my attempt is to unravel some of the propensities. And then in one of the Tuesday services, we'll have a talk show so that we will explore some of these things. I'll bring people that have doctrinal experience, people that have scholastic experience, and people who also have the advantage of being widely traveled, who are aware, so that it will help you understand propensities and intensities. Because the signs, they begin and they grow. They pass through an incubation, a gestation phase until they germinate. So I will show you the beginning part of each sign, and I will also show you the ending part of each sign, so that you will know that we are close to the completion of the clock. Praise God. Five signs. Number one, we have moral signs. Number two,
We have natural signs. Number three, we have ecclesiological signs, or signs that have to do with the church. Number four, we have Israel-based signs, or signs that have to do with the people of Israel, because Israel is central to God's agenda. And number five, we have the sign of the Son of Man. That's the last sign. But the problem with the last sign is that when the sign is happening, it's already too late. The Bible said the way lightning moves from one part of the earth to the other, it said that's how the sign of the Son of Man shall be. So if the sign of the Son of Man begins to happen and you have not been transfigured, know that you are late. You will go through another protocol. Because there are many protocols. There are many protocols. And I will show you. Praise God. So we'll deal with the moral signs first, because it came first. And then we'll deal with the natural signs. Then we'll deal with the ecclesiological signs. Then we'll deal with the Israeli-based signs. And then we'll deal with the signs of the Son of Man. When we are done, then I'll ask five questions. If you can't answer those five questions now, take a retreat. Take a retreat. I'm telling you. Because even the message you are preaching can be the reason why you go to hell. If you don't know these signs. These signs are so treacherous, subtle, that if you are not careful, you can be shouting the name of Jesus, but you are already in bondage. That's why we must study it and ask God to help us. And I am telling you, many preachers will be shocked. Unless God helps. Many preachers will be shocked. In the last days, you will discover that the greatest victims will be those who are in authority. Many people will be surprised. Because they would have undermined these things, thinking that it's well with them, they are in order. It's a judgment will begin from the household of God. Judgment will begin from the church. And it will begin from the altar. Praise God. So let's look at the moral signs. Matthew 24. I'm using that scripture so that I can attempt to summarize everything from there. Because Matthew 24 gives us an overview, but the book of Revelation gives us specificities. If we go into the book of Revelations, the signs alone will take us many series to be able to handle. But when we are teaching it in a short series like we are doing now, then we have to do it from the overview. So let's look at the signs that borders on morality. They are moral-based signs. Matthew 24. We'll go back to our scripture again from verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. They were still looking at physical things and prioritizing them. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Verse 3. The moment Jesus said that, their hearts began to beat. So anybody who builds his life on physical things, Jesus said everything will be wrecked. Peter was speaking, he said the elements of this world will melt. The moment Jesus told them, everything on earth that is physical, including your bank and bank account, will be melted. Their hearts now began to beat. Your business will burn. Your certificate will burn. I know you are a Harvard graduate. And it's good. Use it now to the degree that you can. But remember, that certificate, if you like, go and insure it in a bank. It will be burned. He said there will be no stone that will be left on the other. So their heart began to beat. And for the first time, they started thinking of something that is eternal. And so as they sat upon the mountain, you notice that there was silence. They asked him this question in the temple. They kept quiet and he trekked until he came to the mountain and sat down. That was when they caught their breath. If this thing you are saying is true, they now came up with another kind of question that has eternal value. And the question was, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, what shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming? And what shall be the sign of the end of the world? So, the coming of Jesus itself is a sign of the end. Are you following? And then there are signs that precede the coming of Jesus. So, you are talking two categories of realities. The signs that come before his second coming, and then the second coming itself being a sign of the end of the age. Now that they are talking something that matter, Jesus can talk. You know, the first one they brought to him, he answered them in one verse and kept quiet. Now he will speak for more than 30 verses. Because this one is a heavy matter. And Jesus began to speak. And he said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Now, the foundation of immorality in the last days is deception. And so the whole signs about morality is weaved into deception. A man who is not deceived cannot be immoral. The reason you find many people fall into immoral living in the last days is because they are deluded. And as I go through scriptures, you will understand what I'm talking about. In verse 5, it says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So the reason deception will thrive is because men will want to usurp the authority of God and make people understand that everything God represents, they represent it. So they will not need to keep God's moral standard and still receive what God says he has to offer. So it's not just about saying a person. Now, there are many persons who have come in history who claim that they are Christ. But you see, this thing is telling us something that is deeper than people. Even systems will take the place of God in the last days. So they can come and tell you that forget about all this teaching on faith for divine health. Better adopt medicine. If you don't, you are finished. And then they will project a lot of plagues. And so people become afraid. And so medicine will become Christ in the life of many people. And when you make medicine your God, and I'm not saying anything is wrong with medicine, but I'm saying medicine is a corridor that the devil will ride on. And when you make medicine your God, the next thing they will come back and tell you, sex is the best form of exercise. If you want to live long, better begin to practice it from the age of 17. And if you practice it regularly, your genes will be built up and you will live long. And many people who have no regard for the real Christ now, who said sex cannot be done outside marriage because the system has become Christ, they will have to substitute the law of Christ and follow the new law that the system prescribes. Because another Lord has been established. And then for those who still refuse, because this thing has taken center stage and it has paralyzed even the government of the day, the government will now start passing laws. And so you go to many nations, your child of 14 years can come home with his boyfriend and they'll be doing exercise. If you talk, you'll be jailed. Because medicine is now Lord. And they will now go further and shift it into perversion. And tell you, there's nothing special about your gender. You are actually what you feel like. Meanwhile, Christ, who is your first Lord, said, we walk by faith, not by sensory perception. But medical science now has become a weapon in the hands of the devil. And so it tells you that your sex is what you feel like. So if you were born a boy and you feel like you are a girl, It's your feeling that determines who you are. And so your father can say nothing because even the government have put an embargo. If he talks anything, he's fighting your will. And so a child of 5 years, of 7 years, who cannot choose the school he goes to, can choose his own gender. And there's nothing your father can do about it. And this is happening now in the world. And then your child, the government will pay for everything. Your child will undergo a surgery. Your child will be, his gender will be changed. And he will become a transgender. And he will become an ambassador to motivate others to follow the delusion. Now, if Christ is Lord, those subjects will not be discussed. The reason we can discuss them is because Christ is no longer Lord. Many Christs have appeared and have deceived many. You know, when you hear things like this, it's possible for you to look at yourself and say, no, they are not wise. They are daxed. This is not about mental power. I've counseled with a lot of people before. I've seen young men who confide in me and ask for prayer. They are sitting with a fellow young man and a spirit is just pushing them to kiss the person. This is a young man talking with a young man. As they are talking close, he's just feeling a push. Not because he's feeling anything. Kiss the person. And he doesn't know what's happening. Now, if you don't know that this thing is beyond emotion, that spirits are involved, you will allow that thing to begin to mutilate the purity of your soul structure until it will become a stronghold. And then you will fall into that delusion. Now, in fact, what the Bible said is that the reason men will become immoral is because they are deluded. And the reason men are deluded is because they are controlled by seducing spirits. And these seducing spirits will not only seduce men, they will pioneer doctrines of devils. And it is the doctrines of devils and the seduction of these spirits that will make men fall. You know, the first man that was created, as original as he was, when the seducing spirit came in form of a serpent, he couldn't resist him. So this thing is not about willpower. It's about the power of the ages to come, working in your spirit man. You know, the Hebrew word for the whispers of the serpent is called nakash. That thing the serpent does, he enters and penetrates the soul and reconfigures the soul structure. If you don't know how to shield yourself from that seduction, you will be shocked that you will not only fall, you will become an ambassador of immorality. Most of the people who are heading the gay movement today, there were people before who said they were martyrs. One of the songs we used to sing those days to set ourselves on fire, I heard later that the person who sang it had gone to the other side. He went the way, he moved from martyrdom into gay. How many of you have heard the song? I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. That's one of the most powerful songs on earth today. Go and search it. With all my heart, with all my strength,
I approve to what God
is. He said, I pledge to honor his commands.
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Before the song started, he was talking to his son. And he was telling him, in case they matter us and they come for you, this should be your stand. This should be your testimony. Somebody who was baptized with the spirit of martyrdom, what happened? Nakash, the whispers of the serpent, it penetrated the soul. You know what the Bible calls them? It says they are deluded. Let me read some scriptures so that you will know why you must understand the sign of deception and know how to combat it. The song now wants to take me somewhere else. Play it on the keyboard.
Sick
allegiance to the Lamb.
Can you project that song? I want to show you something so that you will know the weight of this man in the spirit. I begged myself for many days. I said, this thing is a lie. Can we find that song? Let me show you something. This is Bible study. It's not fire service, so but don't worry.
God. Korabalakai. Lelo kavina anta stadiga astos kafradana. Oh, rababakai.
Hear the lyrics.
I have heard how Christians long ago were brought before the tyrant's throne, and they were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one they choose to die. The Son of God they would not deny. Like a great angelic fire they sign. I can almost hear their songs. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
See, no, we will sing the song later. Let the choir get it. I don't want to go up first. How can a man who had this kind of body, what did they tell him? What was? And you here who is still falling and standing up every 2 months, you say you are ready. The depth of deception that will come in the last day is in the order of the serpent. It's called Nakash. It's the whisper. It enters the soul and it reconfigures man. Can we honor God's servant, Pastor Hialadi Meshalea and his wife, all the way from Gombe? Oh! I didn't know you were coming. You would have been the one to teach us these things. Those of them in the north, they live what we are teaching now. Welcome, sir. It's good to have you. Welcome, man. And so, why will deception thrive, and why will immorality take the center stage? Because seducing spirits will appear on the scenes in the last days. Hear what the Bible says. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. I'm saying this so you don't deceive yourself and say, I am strong. You will need to run into the everlasting arms of God. He said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Why? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So it is spirits and devils that seduce, that will deceive men through men and make men to become immoral.
Now, what is the goal of immorality? What is the purpose the devil wants to achieve? Romans. Okay, 2 Thessalonians 2:11 first. Then Romans 1 from verse 21. I want to show you the two things the devil wants to achieve that makes him sponsor deception and implants immorality in the souls of men. Number one is to bring them into delusion. The Bible said, and for this cause, God shall send strong delusion, and they should believe a lie. So, when this thing happens, God will allow for these people to become deluded. And so, lies will become their doctrine. So, most of these people who are advocating for the gay movement, advocating for all of this evil, they are not doing it because they want to sponsor something evil. They actually believe it is the best way to go. They think it's the rights of men. They think people should be allowed to do what they believe they should do. They think they are fighting for the liberty of men. That's why they will give their monies, they will give their time, they will use their influence, because they are deluded. Now they have believed a lie. They will die for it, thinking they are doing humanity a favor, but it's a departure from the ordinances of God. So the reason for this immorality is to provoke delusion. Hear what the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 2:12. When these spirits come, the blind men, they say, now we have not received, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we should know the things which are freely given to us by God. So the spirit of God helps you to know the things of God. But when you don't have the spirit of God, and the spirit of the world takes over. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. Hear what the spirit of the world does. It said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world, verse 4, whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shall shine unto them. So when people come under the influence of the spirit of the world, they become blinded, and then they believe a lie. So there will be great delusion in the souls and in the minds of men. And this delusion will be so much that for some, a whole nation will be deluded. Now, when I'm teaching you about the judgments of God, there are 5 cadres of judgment. The last cadre of judgment is when the nations are judged. You know, when the new Jerusalem appears, the overcomers will be invited into the new Jerusalem. But there are others who will be in the nations. The Bible said the leaves that will grow in the streets of the new Jerusalem shall be for the healing of the nations. So there are certain nations that will pass the test of the judgment of God. They will be included in what God is doing. But there are other nations like Sodom and Gomorrah that will be completely wiped out from existence. And so this delusion can affect individuals, systems, and nations. These spirits are that powerful. So the reason you see immorality everywhere is not about feeling, it's not about pleasure, it's so that you become deluded. You become blind to the things of God. You now believe a lie, and then you start living a lie. And at the end of the day, that's why I told you, when you live like this, don't make the mistake of assuming that before you die, you will repent. That is also delusion. You will live this lie and you will die in it. You will die because it's a programming. You are already blinded. You have become vain in your understanding. That's what prosperity, that's what immorality wants to do. To make you vain. Vain. You cannot receive the things of God. You can't understand the things of God. You can't participate in the things of God. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, it said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. He said, they are spiritually discerned. Ephesians 1:17 and 18, he said, do not walk as the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. He said, these ones have their understanding darkened, so they can no longer participate in the commonwealth of Israel. So when you think
Any immoral thing you do is about your feeling, and you ask God to forgive you. You don't know where you are. You are in the last days. And what the devil is doing is to sponsor immorality, to darken the souls of men, and to make men live a lie. This is why we fight to be pure. This is why we battle it. We preach it with aggression. We live it with aggression. Because if you don't live it, you will be exonerated, my brothers and sisters. Number two, why does the devil sponsor immorality through deception? Romans 1, verse 21 to 28. Hear what the Bible says. It said, because that when they knew not God, that when they knew God, I beg your pardon, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Hope you are seeing the consistency. Because these ones that bring this deception, they come as Christ. He said, many will come and say, I am Christ. So the first thing is to take the place of God in your life. It can be a man, it can be a system, it can be a government, it can be an institution. Anything that wants to take the place of God in your life is a weapon the devil will use to delude you. He said, these ones, they knew God, but they did not glorify him as God. Why? Because another Christ has taken over. And as they did not glorify him as God, he said they were not thankful. And so they became vain in their imagination. You see the delusion again. And the foolishness, and in the foolishness of their hearts, he said they were darkened. Verse 22. He said, professing themselves to be wise, they have become fools. The word fools used here is morons. They have become morons. They are beside themselves. They are out of their minds. They are saying things that are outrightly foolish, but they can't see it. They have become morons. And so there are many nations today that are dominated by morons. No matter how big they think they are, the Bible said they are morons because they are deluded. They are beside themselves. When you find people carry placards and they are fighting to change their agenda, they are fools. That's what the Bible said. When you find people carry placards and they are contesting that abortion should be legalized, no matter how exalted that nation appears in the eyes of men, they are fools. I'm telling you, people who have understanding, they go to America today because God is sending them. And those who are not sent, they are living there. It's only a man who doesn't understand the season that is thinking greener pasture. Are you a cow? America, 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 America. What are you going to do? Is God sending you? You don't understand the times. That nation now should be a place of the convergence of warriors. Men who can stand and have enough power in the spirit to look at darkness and to judge those spirits so that the minds of men can become sane. That's a place to go look for greener pasture. That's a warfare ground where the souls of men are being traded. And you say it's a place for greener pasture. What pasture? You don't have understanding of the times. If God is not sending you there, that place is a risk. I can tell you today, by all of, there are many people today, they are subscribing to home lessons. Private education. You can't allow. A lawyer went to the school of his child. And he found some of the books they were giving them to read. Children of 7 years. And the books they were teaching them, they claim it is sex education. And they were teaching them, they were unveiling pornography, outright pornography to them, and encouraging them to practice. And the man was reading it. I said, how can you expose my child? They were stopping him. He said, why are you stopping me from reading it? If you are giving it to my child, who is 7 years old, why are you ashamed that I'm now reading it out? Because they know what they are doing. And when you say it the way we are saying it now, they start shutting down your voice. The moment I started attacking gay, attacking lesbianism, attacking those things, they started shadowboxing my messages online. They put message that is shoot 100,000, reduces to 50, and they will tell you boldly, this message cannot be heard in some nations. That is to tell you that every internet platform today has material censored. There are some words you call, it appears on their database. And so they try to shut your voice so that they cannot be heard. If they shut it on one, we enter another one. And as God is empowering us, very soon we will start building our own. Deluded generation. He said they profess themselves to be wise. He said, but they have become fools. They have become morose. Go to verse 23. He said, and have changed the glory of God, the incorruptible glory of God, into the image like to corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. He's trying to give you the progression of idolatry. Because idolatry, if you study it, it began with this worship of creeping objects. From creeping objects to four-footed beasts. Men were worshipping things that creep like serpents. They now migrated to things like cows. They now migrated to worshipping men. And that's why somebody's skin color is his God. He doesn't know why. Everybody wants to bleach. They don't know why. It's the spirit of the age. Somebody wants to gym so that he can turn his body to his idol. He doesn't know why. It's the spirit of the age. When self becomes God, know that that person has entered the full gestation period of idolatry. He has migrated from creeping objects to four-footed objects to man. So man is his God. Himself is his God. It's called deception. Instead of worshipping God, men worship snake. Hope you know that the symbol of medicine is a serpent. The wisest men of old, they drew their inspiration from creeping things. Those were the things that defined their lives and their inspiration. And then they came to four-footed beasts. And then man started exalting himself as God. You don't know why 24 hours you are thinking yourself. When I come to the church signs, I will tell you why the Bible said, when the gospel of the kingdom is preached, so that you know what the gospel of the kingdom is. The first aspect of the doctrine of the kingdom is self-denial. Because he wants to bury idolatry and key delusion. In your kingdom, there is no one. Only Yeshua will reign forever. In your kingdom, there is no one. Africa. For now, Africa is a dumping ground. So many don't know. What we are sharing is already happening in many nations. When I started teaching this thing last week Tuesday, one of my friends called me. You know this thing, there's a place where we meet to talk and to talk burdens. And he said, let's not emphasize the gay. Because it's strategy. And I went to pray. Because as you are teaching this kind of thing, you will be shocked that if you appear on their radar consistently, there are many nations they will never grant you a visa. And if you had a visa before, they will cancel it. Because they see that you are a threat to their program. And he was canceling me because we have a program coming up in London. And we are hoping fire will drop there. So that they don't shut down your visa. And as I went to pray, the Lord now asked me, he said, am I not the one that opens the doors of nations? That's not the one that blew my mind. And he said, even if you cannot go, he said, is it your program or my program? Can can't somebody else preach and I still do what I want to do? It's not about you. It's about the kingdom. So, whether they deny visa or not, the glory will fall. Nothing can stop it. What we are doing is not about us. It's a move of the Spirit. And when God begins to move, even a novice can prophesy. Even the horse of Balaam can prophesy. And he can judge a prophet. In your kingdom, there is no end. This song. Can we be here till 8:40, 8:50? Let me run through this. Time is a burden. This thing called time. This thing called time. The burden. Verse 24. It says, wherefore God also gave them up. So these are the kinds of nations. God just let them be. Since they have gone the way of delusion. He said, he gives them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own body between themselves. Go to the next verse. He said, who changed the truth of God into a lie? So they are bending scripture. Do you know that there are many Christian bodies today? They've adopted these things and they have bent scripture to accommodate it. And when you ask them, they are talking of inclusion. They are talking of tolerance. How can a man be included who is not included in the word of God? What parameter do you define who we are? They change the truth of God into a lie. They worship and serve the creatures more than the creature, the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Go to the next verse. Let's be fast. 27. He said, and likewise also, the men living the natural use of the women, born in their own lust towards another. Men with men, walking that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. So men no longer have affection for women. Men are now having affection for men. Women are having affection for women. The Bible calls it delusion. And so when you fall into delusion, you believe a lie, or you make the word of God, you twist the word of God into a lie, and then your emotions become your God, and you journey in the path of decadence. You can never be part of God anymore. And this is what is reigning in the Western world. Why is it so powerful? Why is it so productive? Because it's not a product of human intelligence. They are sponsored by seducing spirits, and the laws that they are writing to support it is called the doctrines of devils. Are you following? And so the first thing about the signs that border on morality is the rise of deception that kill the conscience of men, make them to validate evil and to live a lie, and they call it the truth, which is championed by the spirit of immorality. The second thing that is under this sign is iniquity. Matthew 24 verse 12. He said, the love of many shall wax cold because iniquity shall abound. Because iniquity shall abound, he said, the love of many shall wax cold. And so when you find a generation where men can no longer do the things and the biddings of God, know that that in itself is a sign. A generation where a man can sit down and watch a movie for 12 hours, but he cannot pray for 30 minutes, know that the love has waxed cold. A generation where a man can be aggressive and active in the gym for 4 hours, but he cannot study the Bible for 30 minutes. Know that iniquity have waxed cold their love for God. A generation where a man can study for 17 years in order to be called an engineer, to be called a doctor, but he doesn't have a consistent walk with God for 6 months. Know that we are in the last day. Iniquity came in order to shut down the love men have for God. The reason you hear us talking fire, passion, zeal for God every day is because we know it's one of the references that measures the time. When you get into a whole nation and you can't find anybody on fire, anywhere on fire, know that you are in the last day. It is the power of the last day that make men that lukewarm. And that power is manifested through iniquity. Have you not gone to certain states and you are asking, is there a place of prayer here? Is there a place here I can go to and hear the voice of God? Is there a place here I can go to and know that I'm in the presence of God? And a whole city, you can't find such a place. That is why those of you that God has given grace to burn some fire, don't let that incense go down. It can become the salvation of many. And you may just be the only candlestick burning in that territory. The love of many shall wax cold because iniquity shall abound. So two signs under the moral sign is delusion manifested through immorality, and then lukewarmness manifested through iniquity. When you see that these two things have taken the center stage, even in church, know that we are in the last day. Have you not gone for vigils before? When they say let's dance, people will dance for 3 hours. But let's pray, everybody starts sleeping. Let's hear the word of God, everybody start those. There's no strength in the spirit. The spirit man is weak. He's the power and the spirit of the age. And so they don't know what is happening to them. It's an operating system of the age. It weakens you. It quenches the fire. And it reduces the energy and the temperature of God in your spirit. We are in the last days.
My glory. And the lift up.
The second category of signs are natural signs or signs related to nature. Now, let me explain this to you. I told you it begins from one and it culminates in the other. The first sign is actually the initiation. The last sign is actually where it is capped. So, delusion is actually the beginning of the immoral signs or signs of the border on morality. But the abundance of iniquity and the waxing cold of the love of men is the culmination. And so, for those who have understanding, you have now seen that men are not just deluded, but it has killed the fire of God in their spirit. Know that we are in the end time. Hope you know that delusion was massive in the days of Paul. That's why he wrote and attacked it. But now, men are not just deluded. There's no fire anymore. I went for a conference that was supposed to be the umbrella conference. And I don't want to mention the name. One of the major umbrella bodies of the body of Christ. And we came. They said, let us pray. There were more than 700 pastors there. They were praying. The place was dead. There was no energy there. There was no power there. The place was dead. Let us pray. This is supposed to be an umbrella body where if you are dying, you will come under and you are charged. Let us pray. The place was dead. I thank God, one vibrant man of God came up. That was the only man that brought incense. When he roared there, even the princes knew that a prince has come. The love of many shall wax cold because iniquity shall abound. Now, natural signs. Also two categories. Matthew 24. Verse 7. It says, for nations shall rise up against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms, and there shall be famine, there shall be pestilence, there shall be earthquakes in diverse places. This is the beginning of the natural signs. There shall be earthquakes in diverse places. So that's when the last days began, these things became the predominant manifestations. And if you study history today, type the story of famine, the story of earthquakes, how it affected and ravaged many territories. It's unprecedented. Because nature is rebelling. The iniquity and the evil that has entered the earth is too much. So even the earth is rebelling against man. And the earth is crying to the heavens. Because the earth itself needs to be purged. And so when you see those signs, Jesus said, the end has not yet come. But when the end is about to come, then even the natural sign will go to a higher intensity. Because there's another natural sign that will happen when we come to that hour. And that is in Matthew 24, verse 29. So it begins with earthquakes and famine, but it progresses. And he said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall no longer give light, and the star shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. By the time the earth rebels and signs in nature moves from famine, moves from pestilence, moves from earthquakes, and the sun begins to go dark, the moon no longer gives light, know that we are about the hour. Jesus said to study these signs because it will tell you that the times are near. Now, the sun has not yet gone down. The moon has not yet gone down. But you see, when you look at the earth today, you are seeing that man is going artificial and abandoning nature. You don't know what the Antichrist is doing. He knows that a day will come when the power of nature will fail. That's why they are trying to build artificial systems to be able to support nature when nature fails. So when you read these things, know that this intelligence is not just invention. I told you, invention is good. God uses it. Many believers pioneered invention. But every corridor can become a gateway for the devil. And when you see that the devil hijacks invention, knows that the spirit of Nimrod has come. Babel is about to take over. I heard that in the nation of the world, they are trying to create an artificial moon. Why do you bother creating another moon if God has given you one? Because they know a day is coming when the moon will fail. And through astrology and through demonic powers, they know that the times are near. It's only the believer who is asleep. The people of the world know. Currently, as I'm speaking, there's a nation that is digging the earth crust to many thousand feet, trying to explore what is in the bottom of the earth. And they are not the first to start it, because they know that there is something happening to nature, and very soon nature will give way. So let's harness the power of nature, create an artificial system that will sustain us in case nature fails, because they are preempting what is happening. All of these things are signatures. Do you know the Bible said in Revelation 16 that one of the natural signs that will happen even before the moon loses its light is that the great Euphrates River will dry up? In our own very eyes, it has happened. And there is something that the Bible says will happen when that river dries up. And I will talk about it now as I go into the signs that will happen in the church. See, many are not aware because they don't know these truths. So they can afford to be lukewarm about serving God. Is this the time to beg a believer to pray? A believer wants to pray. He needs a teaching on prayer to charge him up. You are still at that level. You don't know where we are. You don't know where we are. So they are natural signs. Revelation 16:12.
He said the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. And he said the water thereof was dried up. And he said that the way that it will make a way for the king of the east, that he might be prepared. This one is not something we can say in the public, because this is a king that has 100,000 soldiers. But if we say this one now, we'll be threatened. And we have not built enough statue, so we'll stop here. Are you following? So the second signs are natural signs. And I told you already, of the 735 signs and predictions and prophecies of scripture, 569 has already happened, 81%. And everyone happened to 100% precision. And so when the Bible tells you these things will announce the end of the age, don't take it for granted. Number three, the ecclesiological signs, or the signs of the church. There are three major signs that the Bible gave concerning the church. Number one is affliction and hatred. Number two is the rise of false prophets. And number three is that the gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world. He said when this happens, then the end of the age shall come. Matthew 24. Let's look at verse 10 and 11. Begin from verse 9. Many Christians today think afflictions are a burden. They think afflictions are not supposed to be part of our Christian life. And then you're asking them, who discipled you? You don't know you are the church of the last day. James 1:2, he says, count it all joy when you go through diverse trials and tribulation. Peter was preaching on the same subject, and he said, your faith is more precious than gold. He said, yet gold that perishes is tried by fire. How much more will your own faith be tried? And he said, when your faith is tried, you become complete, wanting nothing. But you see what the body of Christ is trying to do? It's trying to make you feel as if Christianity is a bed of roses. That's why our gospel is not relevant to people in Afghanistan. That's why our gospel is not relevant to people in Pakistan. That's why our gospel is not relevant to people in America and in Europe. You know why? The ones who are in the environment of persecution, they can't understand the God we are talking about. Because if this your God only promises money, then why are we where we are? And then the ones in America and UK, they can't receive your gospel. Because if all your God gives is what their government can give them, they don't need your God. We have not taught men to stand for truth and to endure whatever comes to them because of truth. And so we still have a church that people are compromising in the office because their boss threatened them and they don't want to lose their jobs. You are not a Christian. You'll find many people compromising in the office because they want to win the favor of the boss. And a sister who sings in the church, or a sister who prophesies in the church, can sleep with her boss for a promotion. And then what she was taught is that she has the righteousness of Christ. And what she has done is not a sin, it's a mistake. It's a mistake. We can't endure affliction. We can't endure. Paul was speaking to his son Timothy. He said, endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. That's how you prove yourself to Jesus. And so Jesus was teaching in Matthew 24 verse 9. He said, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted. They shall kill you. The gospel is not just God will save you, God will deliver you. If all that's all you have heard, you will never be a kingdom agent. Because when the going gets tough, you will escape. Did you not read about John Mark? When Paul and Barnabas were traveling, John Mark thought ministry was about standing on poster, about honorarium, until he started seeing persecution and he ran back. The next time they wanted to go for missionary journey, Barnabas said, we carry John Mark. Paul said, no way. I know you are the one who brought me to the apostolic community. I know you were part of those who encouraged me. I know you were part of those who established me in the church. But on this matter, no way. I'm a warrior of Christ. This guy is not ready.
Because he was not taught the affliction dimension of the gospel. Many are lukewarm today. It is only affliction that wake them up. Hope you know that when Israel was in Egypt and they were enjoying in Goshen, no, you never heard the record of prayer. There was no record that they prayed. There was no record that they fasted. Until the Bible said in Exodus 1:8 that a king that did not know Joseph rose. Immediately, heaven will rest. He said, I have heard their cries, their prayer, not by reason of revelation. He said, by reason of their taskmasters. So afflictions are beneficial to the warriors of the last day. It will wake you up from slumber. And if you are not taught the way of affliction, you will escape and you cannot prove Jesus as Lord in every circumstance. And so the first sign is affliction, is hatred. If you see nations today fighting Christianity, they are playing the script of the last day. Somebody said believers are the most endangered species on earth. There are many nations today, if you enter and they discover you are a Christian, you are finished. Meanwhile, God wants witnesses there. If you are not taught affliction, who will go and preach there? When I went to Gombe to preach, the first thing they told me was that some pastor say he will not come. Because anybody that has become a little bit popular and has begun to enjoy favor in ministry, it doesn't go to the north. All our conferences are in Port Harcourt, in Lagos, in Abuja, in Warri. When you say Zamfara, Maiduguri, you will hardly see apostolic invasion there. You will hardly see it. Only few go there. Because, number one, when you go there, there is no promise of a robust honorarium. Number two, if you go there and if crisis begin or there's a riot, you need to understand that all man for himself. You have to escape first before you call your host and say, where are you? Your host may tell you, there's a back door in that room I put you. Bend down, escape, run straight for 4 hours. You will find the highway, take right, meet us there. So, nobody wants to go to the north. How many missionaries have you heard that God appeared to and told them to go to Afghanistan, to go to Pakistan? When it is Pakistan, our meeting is on Zoom. Jesus loves you. Speak in tongues. Prophesy. But when it's in America, God's servant will come with a team. God's servant will bless the nation as a priest of the Most High God. Are we not deceived? Because we are not taught affliction. Meanwhile, where the gospel is mostly needed is where we are not going to. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong in going to some of these nations that I've mentioned. They also have a need to hear the gospel. But you see, if we choose one path and leave the other, it means our loyalty to Christ is questionable. Affliction, hatred. Nations will lock their doors against you. There are many nations, they hear you are a Christian, they will deny your visa. And if you are there, they will deport you. If they don't imprison or kill you. It's a sign that we are in the last day. It says you will be hated. You will be hated. You have to develop a thick skin. If you are still that Christian that somebody spoke against, you go and lie on your bed and cry for 4 hours. You are not ready. They said, can you imagine? They spoke against me. Oh Lord, see what they are doing to me. Doing what? What has happened to you? Have you been beheaded? Have you been in prison? Somebody spoke against you. You went and laid down. You cried. You are looking for sympathy. Stand up from there. There is work to be done. Who cares if anybody is angry with you? Who cares if they speak against you? There is too much work to do to be concerned about what somebody thinks. We are martyrs. Ready to bear the witness of Christ in any situation we find ourselves. That is the readiness requirement. And it is one sign that will happen to the church as a proof that we have come to the last day. Jesus said, they hated me, they will hate you. And the apostles knew this very, very well. And all of them gave their lives for it. The second sign of the church is the rise of false prophets. Matthew 24, verse 10 and 11.
He said, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Go to verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. So it is false prophets that will bring the delusion into the church. And let me tell you something. When we talk about false prophets, it's not about ministers who bear the title of prophet. Because many people think it's those who say they are prophet A or prophet B that will censor and choose the ones who are genuine and choose the ones who are fake. It's not about title. Anybody who preaches or lives deception as a minister is a false prophet. Because the credential that the Bible gave there is that it said this false prophet, their job is to deceive many. So you can call yourself an apostle. If there is no truth in your mouth, and if your life is fake, you are a false prophet. There are many people today who are exaggerating a lot of things that God is not saying or doing on the altar. They say they are apostles. They are also false prophets. False prophets are not only the ones who carry the title of prophets. There are many people today, they are preaching what they are not practicing. They are also false prophets. Hope you know that one of the greatest corruption that entered the church is the gospel of materialism. Many people call it the gospel of prosperity, but it's not true, because prosperity is not wrong. Prosperity is actually holistic. Prosperity is spirit. Spirit prosperity is when you are drawing close to God, living under God's ordinances. Holiness is actually spirit prosperity. A state where you are dominated by God and you are not under any demonic influence. Soulish prosperity is a situation where you are mentally doing well, you are sound, and your mind can be used of God to serve His purpose. Bodily prosperity is divine health, and material prosperity is a state where God can entrust you with finances for His kingdom. So there's nothing wrong with prosperity. It is materialism and self-preservation that they brought into the church. And so if you find anybody teaching materialism or self-preservation, he's a false prophet. What is materialism? Everything you do is about God blessing you with something. If you are praying, it's about money. It's about good health. It's about preservation of your family. It's about breakthrough. It's about promotion. Every engagement you have with God, it's not about God. It's not about your growth. It's about using God to meet a material need. That is what we call materialism. And when you get that material need, you begin to live in vanity. You showcase it. So you see them carry cars, they are showcasing cars. You see them carry planes, they are showcasing planes. There's nothing wrong in having a private jet for missions. But when you buy a private jet and all the seat inside is gold, and you sit down to show people that you are doing well, that's vanity. That's materialism. And so when you quote a private jet, better define what you are saying. If it is for mission, it is welcome. But if it is something that boosts your ego and makes you feel important, that's materialism. And if every engagement you carry out with God is to give you one material thing or the other, that's not the gospel of the kingdom. That's materiality. And then secondly, any message that is preached that is all about you and your benefit is called self-preservation. Do you know the people who brought this to the church? It's the apostles. Those kinds of apostles are also called false prophets. This is a corruption that came to Africa from the Western world. Fasting became about blessing. Prayer became about blessing. Give, it shall be given unto you. Everything is about you and you and you and you alone. There's nothing about God's kingdom. Somebody is looking for breakthrough. God gives him a million. The kingdom is not advanced. That 1 million becomes something that makes for self-aggrandizement. That is self. If you find people who advocate this or preach it, they are called false prophets. And this is why many will fall away. Because the moment God is no longer meeting their material need, they don't need God anymore. They look for another God. Because as far as they are concerned, the reason they are coming to God is not because of God, it's because of their needs. And so the third sign is that the gospel of the kingdom must be preached as a witness in all the world. Matthew 24:14. The gospel of the kingdom
as three major categories. Number one is self-denial. If you have not denied self, you cannot participate in God's kingdom. After you are born again and you are given the right to perceive the kingdom, the first thing the kingdom will put on you is to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow. Because if you don't deny yourself, if you don't take up your cross, you cannot follow. And if you cannot follow, you cannot be sent. And so God is looking for those who will follow him. But those who will follow him are those who will deny themselves and take their cross. Matthew 16:24. If you will follow me, you must deny yourself, you must take up your cross, and you must follow. So the first thing about the kingdom is self-denial. That's why you hear us saying it again and again and again. Except the corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. After self-denial, then you come into the government of life. The Bible said that now there is therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. It said, for the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus have set me free from the law of sin and death. It is when you are set free from the law of sin and death that you become a son. It is the people that are walking by the law of the spirit of life that the Bible spoke about in verse 19, that the earnest expectation of creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. He wasn't talking about those who are born again. It's those who are born again who now walk by the law of the spirit of life. Now, if you don't do anything by the empowerment of life, in the kingdom it's called dead works. And if it is dead works, God will not know it. Are you seeing that now? So any man who is walking in the kingdom is powered by the life of God, is powered by the grace of God. In Hebrews 12:28, it says, having received the kingdom that cannot be moved, it says, let us receive grace to serve God acceptably. So you must come under the government of life before God can deploy you to represent him. And so after self-denial, you begin to walk by the dictates of life. This is why we teach people prayer. This is why we talk fasting. This is why we meditate on scripture. So that you can harness your divine possibilities. This does not mean God will overlook all your natural ability. But the way God works is that if you come under life, it is God that now breathes on your natural ability. At that point, even you will know that you have a treasure but an earthen vessel. You will no longer glorify yourself in your natural ability. Rather, you submit your natural ability to the government of life. When you pass that level, then you come to the final level where God mobilizes you. And that is what you see in Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world as a witness. It said, then shall the end come. So there are two things about this gospel. You preach it in all the world, and then you preach it to all creatures. Some people don't know. That's why I told you, sometimes when we preach, we talk to the territory. It's not only men that will hear the gospel. So, I'll talk that later. Not now. It will digress me. But if the gospel of the kingdom is not preached, there will be a great falling away. Because those who cannot survive persecution will adopt another God and forsake the ordinances of God. If the gospel of the kingdom is not preached, men will be serving, but their service will be dead works, and they will have no reward with God. And if the gospel of the kingdom is not preached, the systems of this world will not become the system of our God and of his Christ. Because when a politician wins an election, he will think it's time to loot money. When a businessman gets money, he will think it's time to fill his account, to fill his barn and rest. Those are the type God calls rich fools. He said, you fool, today your life will be demanded of you. He will know that it was God who empowered him for a purpose. So the gospel of the kingdom must be preached. When the church moves from affliction and we come to that point where the gospel of the kingdom starts being preached, know that the end has come. The first sign is the sign of affliction. But it matures from affliction into the rise of false prophets. And then it matures into the gospel of the kingdom. It is the preachers of the kingdom that will shut the voice of the false prophets. Because God will empower them both with discernment and authority, so they can tell who is fake. Not just because he bears the title of a false prophet, but they can discern him from two parameters majorly. Number one, his lifestyle. When they look at him, they can see through him and know that this man is a liar. They can see through him and know that this man is a fornicator. They can see through him and know that this man is merchandising the gospel to make money. Even their vanity will betray them. Most of these fake people, they can't hide it, because the spirit that powers them is a spirit of vanity. And so you see them, they are priding shoes, priding watches, priding cars. They can't help it. They want to pretend and act as if they are also obeying self-denial, but the spirit powering them can't allow them to do that. And so you'll find that their glory is in earthly and mundane things. They pride it, they talk it. They can't help but talking it. And so when the apostles come, who carry the gospel of the kingdom, and when I say apostles, I'm still not talking about those who bear the title of apostles. I'm talking about those that God has fortified with the authority to bring kingdom. When they show up, they discern those men from their lifestyle. And then secondly, from their doctrine. Because they preach doctrines of devils taught to them by seducing spirits. That's why they will tell you, you need the word, you need the word. You want to travel, you need the word. You want to marry, you need the word. You want to buy anything, you need the word. So that prophet can be relevant. A self-aggrandizement, a self-preservation. And you will be there for 20 years. You will never know God for yourself. The only voice of God you hear is the one prophet tells you. You don't know God. You will never catch a burden or a fire to pray for God to grow in you. You will never study the word. It's all about prophet. And everything about you that is not prophet is vanity. You see them talking, it's about things. It's about things. Their whole life is so mundane. Cars, money, phones, vanity. You know that these ones, they are false prophets. You want to see the genuineness of a man? Go and check his followers. His followers will tell you who he is. Because both his life and his teachings is what defines them. And so they are called false prophets. But the gospel of the kingdom is what will both shut them up, refine the church, equip the church, and colonize the world. And so the sign that you see, I hope you know, the messages you are hearing in recent times, the men you are seeing that God is raising, that are shouting self-denial, talking submission to God, talking total dependence on God, it is not a cliche. It is the last day that is bringing them out. In the furnace of persecution, God found them. And God allowed the government of his life to drill them until something breaks out of their spirit, so that they can disciple a generation and bring them back to the laws of the Christ. These three signs are the three major signs required for your preparation. The fourth sign is the Israeli sign, or the sign that borders on Israel, and it's called the abomination of desolation. Where the ordinances of God are replaced and men takes the place of God in the house of God. It will ultimately, those who study history said in 70 AD, it already happened, because two things defines it. I don't want to delve into history too much. I'm out of time. But let me give it to you in layman's sense. The man will rise up in the church, substitute the place of the offering and worship of God, make himself God. And at that time, the powers will be taken from the church and the whole of Jerusalem will be besieged. That's when Jesus said, if you are in the market, don't come home, run to the mountain. If you're on top of a tree, remain there. And they said in 70 AD, something like that already happened. But you see, there's also a prophetic interpretation to it. Apart from the fact that historically it has happened, it has also become a spirit in the body of Christ. So when you come to church today, and you find one man sit as God, and everybody is worshipping him, know that we are in the end time. It is still reflective of the abomination of desolation. Because what happens to Israel will affect the world. So either it happens historically as it was said, or prophetically, but by all means that day will come when the son of wickedness will sit in church and make himself God, and men will worship him. Is that not what we are seeing in church today? People lie down to greet pastor, but they squat, they cross their leg to pray to God. Pastor is so big in church that God is obscured. Somebody is preaching, they will quote pastor 1,000 times. They will never quote Bible. They will never tell you, God told me. Because pastor has been so magnified that pastor has become God. And then we use the doctrine of honor, weaponize the doctrine of honor to bring that witchcraft covering over people. Today, the preaching of human covering is stronger than the blood of Jesus. It's stronger than the finished works of Christ. I am not against human covering. I know God raised this man. And I have taught you before that they are custodians in the body of Christ. Paul said, when I leave you, grievous woes shall come. So the Holy Ghost is there, but God still uses men. But I am saying there are stratifications in spiritual reality. When man becomes bigger than Christ and what he has done, know that an abomination has entered the church. We exhort men, preach men. People can even fight, lose their salvation because of men. There are many places you go to today. People have fought, insulted, kept malice. They allow bitterness to enter their soul. Not because of the devil, but because they are fighting to defend somebody. What a shame. It's called abomination. When you see that this thing takes the center stage in church, know that the end has come. And I told you before that these things happen when God is no longer building Zion and man starts building Babel. So they will bring doctrines that enslave men. If I tell you what I know, you will shout. There are many places today where a man will tell you, I will remove my name from you. Because his name is now the strong tower. It's not the name of Jesus. I will remove my name from you and you will be finished. I will tell you things that will shock you. You will not believe they exist. Abomination. The end time has come. I was teaching the other day and I told my people, I told them that God said, if a wife gives a vow and the husband says no, God lets him. Let that woman go. Because God recognized the authority of the wife. In fact, the Bible said, as Christ is Lord over the church, that's how your husband is Lord over you. But there are many places today where pastors have more authority on wives than husbands. And we call it honor. I know the place of a pastor to counsel, to guide, to give direction. But when pastor, if I can come to your house and tell you something, and you obey me more than your husband, then I have not raised you as a child of God. I have manipulated you, and you are in witchcraft. There are signs of the end time. And they are in the church. That's why the gospel of the kingdom. When the gospel of the kingdom comes, everybody know God for themselves. When a prophet is lying, you can tell. As he's saying one, the Holy Ghost is saying another. And you say, sir, thank you so much for the word you have given. But this is what God is saying. I just feel you should hear it. If the pastor knows that you too hear God, he will remove you from that radar of witchcraft. Abomination. Historically and also prophetically happening in the church. And finally, is the sign of the manifestation of the Son. That's what you call the rapture. The second coming of Jesus Christ. Matthew 24, 29 to 31. I'm rounding up. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened. The moon shall no longer give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Go further. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven and with power and great glory. That is the last sign. But you see, the problem is that
When this sign is happening, it's too late if you are not prepared. You better be prepared before this sign, because this one is the one that happens like a thief at night. If you understand the first four signs and you guard yourself, then this sign cannot take you unawares. The question tonight is, number one, when Christ returns, will he still be the Christ of your life? Or will something else have substituted his place? Will a man have become your Christ? Will a system, or will the system have become your Christ? That's the question. When Christ returns, will he still be the Christ? And you know, Jesus asked this question. He said, when the Son of Man shall return, shall he find faith in Israel? Will there still be people who believe Jesus as the only Lord of their lives? Or would medicine have taken the place of Christ? Would religion have taken the place of Christ? Would human authority and manipulation have taken the place of Christ? If Christ is not your Christ, and the first Christ that will manifest take the place of Christ, there will be a problem with your ultimate end. The second question is, when Christ returns, will you still be morally upright? Because all of these signs come to attack something in you. Because we have come into a world where immorality has become the way of life. When Jesus returns, will you still be one of the few who are morally upright? Or would you have been caught in the web of delusion, or amongst those who have believed the lie and living like slaves of immorality? The third question is, when Christ returns, will you still be on fire for him? He said, the love of many shall wax cold, because iniquity shall abound. Or like Brother Godwin was sharing earlier, would you have loved something else more than Christ? You know the problem of the church in Ephesus? They could not retain their first love. When Jesus returns, will he still be your first love? Or will ministry have replaced your love? Will business have replaced your love? Or would money have replaced your love? These are questions you should ask yourself. And this should become the parameters that governs your spiritual experience and your walk with God. Finally, when Christ comes, will you have endured affliction to the end as a good soldier? Or would you have compromised on the wayside? He said, they that endures to the end, they shall be saved. Every sign comes to attack something. The first sign comes to attack your morality. The second sign comes to attack your faith. The third sign comes to attack your love. The fourth sign comes to attack your stamina and resilience. When Christ comes, these four questions I've asked, will they be found in your life? Or will you just be among those who claim that they are born again, but Jesus cannot find his marks on their lives? This is why this teaching is a call to preparation. Everything I'm teaching you now is already happening. So while I am yet talking, the sign of the Son of Man can just appear in the sky. While I am yet talking, things can just begin to happen. Because everything I've shared from Scripture is already happening, and they are happening at the highest propensities and intensities. You can just sleep and wake up, and wake up to discover that there was a trumpet at night while you were sleeping. May you not miss out when Christ comes. You know what the hymn writer wrote? He said, when the road is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Now hear this. See the urgency with which Christ expects us to live our lives now. Matthew 24, verse 16 and 17. Particularly, verse 17. Look at verse 17 quickly. It says, let him that is on the housetop not come down to take anything in his house. The urgency level is such that Jesus is all, at all times and in all places. It says to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. All other things shall be added. You know, when I start teaching in the next class on the events that will happen, that's when it will become scary. Because we will talk about the great tribulation and the end of life and the end of the world. The signs are just alarm systems. They are not designed to scare you. They are designed to prepare you, because it will awaken you to the urgency of the time. But the last question again is, when the roll is called up yonder, will you be there? It's called up yonder. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Can you play it? You know how to play it? Tan ta 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 tan. You get it? That's how we play. So let's stand up and sing the song and make commitment. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Lay before the master from the doughty felt in spawn. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our walk on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I try to make it simple. So that you can relate. But the things we have shared, they are not things to be taken for granted. Our problem is not that we are called home, but how do you journey there? And if you have not discerned the times, you will live your life carelessly. My prayer for you is that you will build enough discernment to live above deception.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.